Hello, everyone. Welcome to the round two roundup wrap-up stream. Hope you all are doing good on this Sunday evening. Hopefully got lots of Supercoach points. Hopefully you can hear me okay. I have forbidden the microwave use for the next hour and a bit just to keep us all running smoothly. But yeah, hopefully you are all good. Going very well. Great to see so many of you in the chat already, which is fantastic. Toby, Rod Duckling, Davey K, Matt Sherwood, Jonathan, Kim, James, Jonathan, John, a lot of J's in the house, Moz as always, Jacob, mate, everyone here just starts with a J by the look of it, Alex Ruffini, one of the very generous donators of memberships on the last stream. But yeah, great to see so many of you in the stream already. In terms of pass scores, I know that's always generally one of the biggest things we want to discuss at the beginning. I think it's around a 950 to 975, you know, kind of that mid-900s. Feels around a decent score. And I think if you've gotten 1,000 plus, you're probably in for a decent week. I'm sitting at 964, which feels about okay. You know, I think captaincy obviously was a bit of a frustrating one, at least for myself. Captain Ponga in the end, 45. Tommy Turbo, 41. Much of a muchness in the end. Turbo may update to close to 50 with some offloads, but in the end, not really massive. Even Hines, who was probably, you know, the biggest VC or C, 75, so not like a huge score. I think really the winners probably had the likes of, you know, they played maybe like a Bostock, played Ethan Strange, maybe avoided Lukey because he only scored 9. Again, 2 weeks in a row, one of my back rowers has scored 4 and then 9, sub 10, not fantastic. Terrell May, fantastic, 68 points. I think he played like the first 40 straight, which was unreal. Yes, a lot of, I'm going to guess there's lots of points on people's benches this week. So like, I never actually even considered really playing Bostock, so I can't really be too mad at myself. But look, 77 points. In hindsight, I probably would have played him over Burbo. Scored 33. Burbo could potentially get a try assist or try contribution as well, but we'll see how we go. But yeah, 77 points for Bostock is good for his cash gen. Ethan Strange, 61. Lockie Galvin, 49. Really solid as well. So happy with the cheapies, 59 from Joe Chan as well. So hopefully that just kickstarts a lot of the cash gen. And I ended up not even selling Spencer Lenu. As I said, kind of during the week, I wasn't sure who I wanted. Flegler ended up on 48. So I would have gained myself an extra 13 points if I bought him instead of Liam Henry. I just decided to play Liam Henry. Got me mid-30s. I was hoping for 40. It's fine. It is what it is. But yeah, otherwise, Harry Grant, steady, 61 points. Danny Lever on the bench, scored 39. Sean Lane, Dealbags, did decently against Penrith. Both got attacking stats, 62 and 65 for each of them. Piakura, I think, solid. Same with Smithies, 48, 49. Hines and Cleary, steady as ever in mid-70s. Josh Curran, what a man. I think Josh Curran was one of the more satisfying guys in my team this week who got me points. 76. He did have a couple of line break assists in there, but you take that out, we're looking at 60 points pretty much in 60 minutes, all base power. So happy with him. He's benefited, I think, the last couple of weeks with, you know, last week we had Josh Adokar's injury meant Salmon playing to center. This week we had Puasa Famasuli unfortunately getting that HIA in the first hit up. That meant Curran came on straight away. So we still don't even know if that's really going to be his minutes, but look, I'm happy that I've got him into the team. In the backs, also fairly, like, I actually felt pretty good about my team on the whole this week. Like, RTS did good, 75. Tuopiki, 51 against Melbourne for his price, great. Taylor May, 53, solid. It's just, I think it's the fullbacks, if you didn't have Latrell or Tedesco or Reece Walsh, you know, but the popular ones, Drinkwater, Ponga, Turbo, they kind of didn't really do that well, and their captaincy was a big part of it as well. So that's probably more on the frustrating side, I think, of things. But that's kind of how my team ended up going, 964. You can see a super chat here from Benny G. Been a member for 12 months. Really appreciate that. Benny, when does the NFL season start, mate? Yeah, mate, that's fair enough. Because, look, I actually was versing you in a league. And what's going on here? 889, Benny. 889. But, yes, I got the dub over you this week. Look, your team's not that bad. You got in Laybutt, who obviously had a down week. But Cotter, 70 is good. Kaipius Paul ended up being okay. Yeah, it is what it is, Benny. But yes, NFL season, I don't know when that starts. But, mate, you lost to me in round two. That's probably enough sign that you've just got to quit the season. Surely that's enough of a marker. No, I'm only joking. But, you know, great to see so many of you in the chat as well. But, yeah, that's how overall I did. Let's have a look and see through some of your scores. Yeah, seeing a 1060 from Alex, that's a really good score. 1035, Captain Turbo, pretty good considering your captain. 1017, but Lukey scored 9. Yeah, Lukey obviously dragged down a lot of people's scores this week. 1057 from Ryan, captaining Ponga, that's very solid. 911, 916. Yep, very consistent, Jaden. So I think you're set for a 921 next week. It's just going to be the way it works. Yeah, a lot of questions about Ponga and things. I think this is obviously the big week, right? We've got 2 weeks now of information. We've seen two games. The Dragons are a one-hit wonder. Amazingly well round one, and then get smashed 38-0 by the Dolphins tonight. So, yeah, obviously big swings this week. But, yeah, there will be some big, big trades. And the importance is this is the first set of price changes will be happening at the end of round three. So who you trade in is obviously quite crucial for the start of the cash gen. But, yeah, still so many question marks. Like, I didn't, like this, didn't sell Spencer Lenu, and I still feel kind of none the wiser as to who I'd get in the front row forward. Maybe Flegler, but he's on the bye in round three, so probably don't want to trade him in this week. I might even just still play Liam Henry again. You know, James Fisher-Harris got an injury, which was initially reported as long-term, but then now it seems as though it's not as bad as initially feared, but it still sounds like he's going to be missing next week. So Liam Henry still may get a few extra minutes, may just pump me, that sounds terrible, he may just pump out 40 points and I'll take it. So I might not even just make a move yet in the front row forward, we might even see how we go, unless I just get the money to go to like Tino, who comes back in round three. Benny, I'm disgusted with myself. The shame will linger forever. Yeah, I'm gonna hold that over you just because I need the small wins in Supercoach, so I'll hold that over you. The way I'll phrase it, Benny, is that I got a win in round two over probably one of the best named teams in the entire competition. Wirima Trades Gone is a fantastic name, so much better than Amman Talks, which is so boring. I just couldn't think of anything interesting. But yep, I think. Yeah, 1161 from James. That's a huge score. Yeah, look, saying you're going to make three trades this week. Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be boosting. I can see like four or five trades come like potentially in my team. Before we kind of just go through game by game. Oh God, Cyril, you've typed out the quote. I can't believe I said that. Anyway, 1213 from Aiden. That's fantastic. Captain Ronaldo Mulitalo. Wow, huge. Oh yeah, my draft team did it pretty good again this week. I had Teddy, had Mulitalo. I had Matt Tumiko, Val Holmes did okay. I think I had someone else pretty decent who I can't remember. Dillbags did fine. Yeah, I think it was more that I had Teddy in draft. Oh yeah, and this week in draft, I picked up Luke Metcalf, who all of a sudden starts goal kicking. How good. I'm just going to call myself a draft expert from now on, I think. But yeah, I think we'll go through game by game as much as we can, but I think we'll also hit some of the bigger talking points because I think there are some really big ones. So maybe what might help you guys out is maybe I'll quickly go through what I'm thinking with my team first up. Maybe that might help you guys. So obviously I can't make the trades on the screen here, which is why I'm going to bring up my trade planner spreadsheet, which, you know, this is perfect to use now because we don't have lockout yet, but I can still start tinkering with moves that I want to do for round three. So I think, firstly, maybe one of the biggest negative break-evens coming into this week will be Zach Hosking. So Hosking has gone 92 and he's ended up scoring, I think, 109. So he's had two really big weeks. He's 511K, so he's not necessarily cheap, but he is going to have a very low break-even. I'm just going to find, there's a great account on Twitter, guys, that you should definitely look at, which is Jay Schubert, which is at J85S, or lowercase. He publishes like estimated break-evens before the Supercoach will update. I'm just going to have a quick look at what he had for the Raiders players. Yeah, so he's got Zach Hosking with a projected negative 33 break-even. So set to make good money. And also Elliot Whitehead isn't due back for the Raiders, I think, until round three, more likely to be round four, round five. So you might get one or two price rises out of Hosking, but with a negative 33 break-even, like a 92 and 109 in his rolling average is really good. Even if he scores like a 50 or 60, he will get two or three decent price rises out of him, and he could just be a great stepping stone to our FYs. And especially this week when a lot of people like myself have got Hylan Lukey. You know, Lukey to him is not that much extra money, and that could just be a good way to make some, maybe an easy 100K. So Hosking, I don't think he's going to be a great long-term prospect. We've seen him last year. He's solid. Like, I think he scored in the last 2 weeks, 55 and 66 base power. So he's definitely got a good work rate, which we kind of knew from last season. So he's kind of at least a reliable play in your team as well, at least when he's guaranteed to play 80 minutes. Obviously, with Ricky, minutes are always a bit of a question mark, but I look at him as thinking, I think there's a good way to make some money out of him as a trade-in this week. So I think that's probably going to be a debate people have is, you know, let's say you're selling Lukey. I'm probably in a slightly, not luxury position, but I'm happy that I've got Curran already because I think a lot of people are going to move Lukey to Josh Curran this week. Or they could maybe move to Finney Fuiaki from the Cowboys. Just on Lukey as well, it's confirmed 6 to 8 weeks he's out. So he's pretty much going to be a mass sell this week. Finney Fuiaki could be the beneficiary of that for the Cowboys. He's like 290K. Could probably come into that starting team. Or if you want to move to one of these other 400K guys, you know, Josh Curran sitting there. I'm going to have a quick look at what Curran's estimated break-even is coming into this week. It's a break-even of 3. So you'd think he's obviously going to beat that and probably not make money as fast as Hosking, but, you know, should still make some coin. And he's looked good as well in his 2 games when he's played. So I'm initially thinking Lukey to Hosking as one of my moves. I've got like 165K in the bank, so I've got plenty to play with. So I can do that move of Lukey to Hosking, still got 126K in the bank. One of the other moves I'm considering, I was thinking of Cotter. So someone's mentioned in the chat as well. Let me just quickly shout you out. Cameron Smith, great name, by the way. Are you the greatest hooker of all time or greatest NRL player of all time? Get Cotter, 70 in base this week. Cotter did play 69 minutes this week. Obviously, there was some extra minutes because it was a golden point game in the Cowboys match. And with Lukey going off, I think there was probably some forwards who maybe played a little bit extra minutes in the middle. I wouldn't expect 69 from him most weeks. Probably more likely to be the lower 60s, but good example of what he can do with a good work rate. So I have looked at Cotter potentially going into the team. So if I just want to firm up my front row forward and not worry about it moving forward, you know, Spencer Lenu to Cotter, I'm going to be needing 84K somewhere else in my team. So there's a few ways potentially to do that. And I think I'll be very confident. I think I'll likely be boosting this week as well. So Harry Grant is an option to sell. He's got a buy around 4. Could go down to Coruscant, who scored well this week. But for me, Grant, 50 and 61, tough matchups. He did get a bit of a junk line break at the end of the first half, which boosted his score up a little bit. But I just look at him as I had him from the start of the season for a reason, and I don't think that was to sell him this early in the year. And I might even just try to get Grant and Appy potentially as my hooker combination. So I think Grant will stay. And this getting 84K, I think, will require one of my guns to get sacrificed. It's not going to be Hines or Cleary. I know Hines is going to have a huge break even coming into this week. I think it's like 203, but he's got the Tigers, he's got Raiders, maybe round 5 we reassess, but I just look at Hines as like, he scored 75 points, not really doing much. Like, he's one of those guys who I'm just like, I'm very much looking at him as, he's got a Tigers matchup. I don't really care what his break even is. I think I just want him because I might captain him this week. Cleary as well is another one who I don't think I'll be selling. I know it's a tough matchup against the Broncos, but again, I don't look at either of those two despite their really high break-evens. And the main reason is replacements. The only quality replacements I can think of at halves, Moses hasn't been great, Cherry Evans potentially. I think it's Luke Brooks. He is halfback 5'8", and he looked really good again today. Looked really good in round 1 in Vegas. I think he's looked firming up for sure as a really good option. Supercoach-wise, like, he scored 70-plus, and he was close to scoring a try. He just put his foot out on the line. We even saw that in round 1. Like, he scored, like, 59, but he was close on many occasions. Like, there's potentially a really big 100-plus point score in Brooks soon. Can't believe we're saying that in 2024, but he's not playing for the Tigers anymore. He's playing for a good Manly team they look pretty decent. You know, obviously got the win again today. So maybe going down to Brooks, if you are looking to sell one of these two, would be your option. But I don't think I'll be going to Brooks out of my halves. Kind of frustratingly, having Dillbags and Lockie Galvin, I don't think I can sell Galvin. Like, I don't think I want to sell Dillbags. He's got Tigers round 4. You know, he's just solid. Like, I think I just want to keep him for the time being. And Galvin scored 49 points. Pretty much, he had one line break, but he also had like minus 10 in negatives in terms of penalties and errors. So like, that 49 could very easily have been a mid 50 score at his price tag. He's going to make plenty of money and he looked good. I think he hopefully should stay in that team. So Galvin, I don't think I can sell. not selling Taylor May. RTS potentially was looking that way, but he ended up scoring 75. And yeah, I think I'm like, well, I'll keep him. Burbo, I'll keep. Tuipiki, I'll keep as well. Ethan Strange, of course, I'll keep. Bostock, I'll keep now. He's got that 77 in his rolling average. Should hopefully spur on some cash gen. Just quickly on Bostock, if you're interested, his break even is negative 18 expected. So that's good. Jacob Gagai is obviously a concern, who was dropped this week. So he's pretty much a non-player, but he's a bottom dollar. So that long-winded wave is me saying KP is on the chopping block, I think. Now, I look at him exactly the same as, you know, Hines, Cleary, like absolute gun player. The only difference with Ponga is the replacements that we can go to are so much better than what we have at the halves. Like, apart from Brooks, I don't really feel too confident in trading either Hines or Cleary to any other halfback. Whereas at least at fullback, like this week we already had Walsh, Teddy, Latrell all scored well. Latrell's score was a bit inflated with, obviously, at the very end, he got that try line break with a few tackle busts. But we know that he's got that in him. Latrell has got the Bulldogs in round four. Reece Walsh is a very close watch to goal kicking towards the end of that game. I think there's some early reports as well that Reynolds could be out for this next week. Granted, they've got Penrith, so it's not the best matchup, but a goal kicking Reece Walsh becomes very tempting as well. And Teddy scored very well again today. So Teddy reminding us that, look, he's still relevant potentially as an option. And Ponga's break-even estimate, again, just going to have a quick look here. Thank you, Jay Schubert. Estimated break-even 187. And I know he looked good and it was close on occasions, but actually, to be fair, round five, I might want Ponga straight back. This could just be a bit of fullback roulette. Like, sell Ponga for 2 weeks, maybe drops like 100K in that time. I use that money to upgrade elsewhere on my team that I need to. So I'm thinking at the moment, let's just say hypothetically, I go down to, I don't even think I can afford Reece Walsh. I'm 4,500 off if I want to do those other moves of Lenu to Cotter. And then, I did Lukey to Hosking. So instead of Walsh, it'd probably have to be Latrell. I can afford that. So that leaves me with 19K in the bank, and that would be my three trades, and that would be for a boost, three trades. So I've got four boosts left at that time. So from then on, obviously the prices, we don't know what they're going to change to, but it could be a short-term play to get Ponga back in round five. That's some early thoughts, maybe if I wanted to preserve some cash. But looking at it a bit further with Ponga, you know, he did have that Dragons matchup in round five. So he is still tempting, but the Knights just seem a little bit clunky in attack. They don't seem to have kicked into that groove yet. Their fifth tackle options don't seem to be the best. So Pappy is also an option. Yeah, so someone mentioned Pappy. Alex, you mentioned Pappy. The reason with Pappy, I haven't fully thought about him, is I've already got Grant. They've got the bye in round four. The Knights matchup is decent, but then it's just, I think with Pappy, I'd probably ideally want to get him around round six. This is the thing as well. If you sell Ponga, like, sure, he looks like he's got a fantastic draw from round five onwards. But then also you've got other guys who've got really good draws. Like Pappy at that time has got a decent run of games coming up. After that, I think it opens up a little bit more for Reece Walsh, I think has a really good run from that point as well. There are still alternatives. That's probably the only thing that makes me more comfortable selling Ponga, is that I'm trading him to another gun instead of, say, selling the likes of, you know, if I sold Dealbag, it would just be for Luke Brooks. I do want Luke Brooks. He's looked really good. But yeah, so that's at the moment some initial trade thoughts. This is the thing. I'm not even, this is excluding the likes of, say, Joey Lussick. Scored very well again on the weekend. He's going to have a big negative break even. But I don't, there's a balancing act. You can't go off selling, like, all of your guns, effectively. You know, you need to be keeping some of them. And what I'm thinking is I'll keep my ones in the halves, keep deal bags. Maybe the fullback is where I can play a little bit more of a roulette game, because we've got some options who are on the cheaper spectrum. Thing with Pappy as well, he's not goal kicking, which, I mean, I know he scored really well. By the way, what a fantastic end to that match, by the way. That was amazing. So yeah, my early thoughts are maybe the fullback spot is where I can sacrifice one of, probably, I think I will keep Turbo. I think Manly just in general still look to be pretty good. Today was a bit of a weird game where, like, the ball just kept going to DCE and Olakuatu. They were really targeting that right side. Wasn't really going much out to the left, in my opinion. So Turbo just wasn't getting that involved. It could be maybe it could have been a good job done by the Roosters defense. So yeah, that's some initial trade thoughts. I'll probably pause it there, but we'll get through some of the games in a bit more detail. And we'll try to get to obviously more of your questions as well. But basically, long story short, there are so many trade avenues that we could go down this week. So it's a really, really important week for SC point scoring. Okie dokie. So I think hopefully that covered a lot of the top points. Hopefully that helped you guys out. You know, just thinking quickly about this most recent game being the Dragons Dolphins. I was very keenly watching Lomax this week. He ended up only scoring 40, which I think was pretty much all in base stats. I think again he took a bazillion runs. Yeah, look, he got six tackle bus points, and yeah, he got 34 points in runs basically. So yeah, the base stats were good, but just absolutely no attack in today's game against the Dolphins. So I think Lomax, if people have jumped on, you've made your bed now. Like, I mean, it's still a good option. They still have a fairly good draw, but obviously, I guess this is always one of the reasons why we'd like to wait on decisions in a week, because so much can change. Dragons looked fantastic last week, and then this week, all of a sudden, they looked pretty shabby. Michael, you do make a good point with Pappy. 80 plus, even without the goal kicking, he's too cheap not to own, just like Teddy. I think that's fair enough. And I think, what was I going to say? With Teddy as well, the thing with Teddy is the Roosters draw is a bit tougher. So again, I'll just quickly flick back to the spreadsheet. Actually, we may as well just show this off. Why not? Hopefully you guys can actually see this. Can you see this? Let's see. Okay, yeah, so if you can see this, fine. So this is my draws kind of spreadsheet. So I haven't updated the values for team difficulty yet, but let's say if you want to look at, let's say from round 3 onwards, for the next 6 weeks, who's got the best draw by my ratings? This is the thing, the Knights come out on top, and this is another reason why I'm like, well, do I sell Ponga? But he's got a Melbourne matchup, which is obviously a bit tough, and then the Warriors away. Parramatta should come out on top, pretty high. Broncos feature a little bit higher now as well, because after Penrith, round 6 onwards is when their run really starts to open up. But again, if Walsh is goal kicking, you know, Melbourne still ranked down the bottom. That's mainly because of that bye in round 4. I think from round 5 onwards, or even round 6, like if you look at round 6 to round 13, Pappy does become a very appealing option as well. Who else we got? We've got we mentioned Latrell. Just the Rabbitohs, I don't know what's going on with them. I think it's just their middle forwards, their pack is just not as strong as what it used to be, and I think that's just really impacting the backs. Like Cody Walker's struggling. I think they just don't feel like they're playing a very patient game. Like there was a period when they made the grand final, there was something different about them where they were like willing to get into the grind and then trust that they would, by keeping themselves in the match, their gun players like Cody, Latrell, etc., would find ways to get one or two tries and win matches. Whereas because their forward pack's not so strong anymore, it's kind of like they feel like they need to force things, and I think it's just not helping them at all. So yeah, Rabbitohs, I mean, Latrell seems to still be match proof, and irrespective of whatever the Rabbitohs throw up, he can still score himself okay. So he's potentially an option. I like that he's goal kicking. Yeah, Reece Walsh is obviously there with probably a better draw than the Rabbitohs, I must say, after round 3 at least. But yeah, so that's kind of, I guess, maybe even Drinkwater. The only issue with Drinkwater is obviously you don't make money, that much money, selling KP. Alex, you do make a good point as well. Would Manu play 6 next week with the Kiri head knock? That is a great point as well. So you could even look to Manu potentially as a little pod play if he plays at 5-8. Again, Roosters draw, apart from maybe the Bulldogs in round 5, not the easiest on paper, although you could probably say that Rabbitohs round 3, Knights round 6, are not that bad. It's maybe the Penrith and Melbourne games, but then outside of that, you've got Dragons as well. So Teddy could be a nice little short-term play potentially as well. But yeah, so many questions, and we're obviously not going to answer all of them tonight, but I think this is the thing. Again, we're talking about so many good fullback options. This is why it's probably more comfortable selling a Ponga, because you can move to another gun option. In the halfback spot, you don't really have that. Hooker, it's Harry Grant, Appy, Jeremy Marshall King looked decent today as well, but they've got the bye around 3. So again, in this week, you're not probably going to want to move to JMK. It's probably Appy who you want to move to for a gun, or maybe you go all the way down to Joey Lussick. The thing with Joey Lussick as well is that he did score well. So having a quick look here, he ended up on 82. He did get some, obviously, some big attacking stats. He got a try assist, line break assist for Hopgood, I think. Oh, no, that was Dilbags. Oh, no, he didn't get a try assist. Sorry, I'm thinking of someone else. But he got a line break try, and he got a try contribution. So let's just take away the attacking stats. We're looking at 37. We're looking at 38 plus 4, 42 plus 4, 46. We're looking at 50 base power, which is fine for his price, 313K. If you're going to get 50 out of him, if he keeps playing those minutes, like, he will be a good moneymaker as well. So Lusick is definitely an option, but, you know, if you're trading Harry Grant to him, I don't feel super confident in that because it's Grant and it's a pretty average hooker position. You've kind of already forced him into your team. Maybe you just have, maybe the approach is just to hold through him. I think if you started with Appy, I think you'll be, excuse the pun, I think you'll be happy if you start with Appy. He scored well today, and you know, if you just play like Danny Levi last week, he scored 45. Appy scored well for you this week. I think you'll be pretty settled, I think, with Appy until round 6, and then maybe you can upgrade to Grant. But yes, I think on this Penrith Eels matchup, just because I've got it up, you know, I think there was some concerns about Dilbags, Sean Lane, given that they got a big attacking stats but didn't really score huge. I just don't think they're the biggest problems in my team. In terms of break even that they've got, potential cash they may lose, they've still got a good draw. They don't have a bye coming up until about round 9. I just don't look at them as the biggest problems in my team. Maybe if I had a full healthy team and I'd got some other picks right, Sean Lane, maybe I could move because his base power still doesn't look to be there, but it just doesn't feel like that at the moment. I like this comment from Matt. Aman, we can always trade Ponga to Hosking, move to Opiki to fullback via duels, and then you can save the cash for round 5. Yeah, that's also another thing you could do. You could just go Ponga to Hosking. Lukey could go to maybe Cotter if you've got duels, and maybe you could leave it at that. I might even play around with that option. The only issue is with my spreadsheet, I haven't fully factored in how to do duels very easily compared to how super you can do it in the Supercoach game. But that's definitely still a consideration that you can do as well. I think, out of the Eels, probably not too much. I think Hopgood obviously scored very well, scoring a try. Kind of spoken about Lusick already. Probably no one else, I guess, super, super relevant. On the Penrith side, so I think Taylor May, we've kind of already spoken about. Liam Henry, so maybe just quickly to touch on him. I think it's, again, it feels like the other bigger issues have cropped up, but I think if you've got a trade, Pouassa, Farmasuli to Liam Henry, that's it's a very annoying move to make because it's completely sideways in terms of the cash, but I do think you will get better cash out of Liam Henry than what you will out of Farmasuli. Looked to be a pretty bad head knock. I haven't checked the number of days until the next game, but you know, there's probably a safe bet that Farmasuli is not going to play next week for the Dogs. And then if Fisher Harris is out, Henry's minutes might not increase massively because I suspect that Matt Eisenhuth will just come onto that Penrith bench. So Liam Henry's got a break even of 8. So he's not going to be like a massive moneymaker. So it's not actually a must trade. But if you have got that spare trade up your hand that you could maybe do to try to just fix up the edges around your team, Pouassa, Farmasuli to Liam Henry could work because Henry looks to be getting around at least 30 minutes. He's got, I think it was 36 last week. I think he got 35 minutes last week. And I'm just going to quickly check what he got this week. I believe it was about the same. And he's got a good work rate as well when he gets the minutes. Yeah, he played 32 minutes this week. So he's kind of hovering around that low 30s mark. And he scored 35 in that time. Oh, yeah, and he absolutely bombed a try. Oh, my God. Playing him and seeing him knock on that potential try was very frustrating because I was like, that could have been a 52-pointer from Liam Henry. That just would have been absolute gold. But that's probably all, I think, out of the Penrith guys, because I think, you know, I know Isaac Tonga had a huge game, but that was, I think, because of Kelmatua Lungi. There was an injury to one of their players, which meant that Tuolungi was playing in the centres. And so Isaac Tonga was just absolutely cooking down that right-hand side. They just kept throwing him the ball, and he just kept getting free line breaks. Like, I think he got 6 line breaks. Like, that is not happening every week. It was just a very deliberate play. It was just passed to him, give him space to run, and he was just making all of these free line breaks. So, obviously a huge score, but he's not cheap. He's 698K, and the draw still isn't fantastic. So maybe he's not one to fully consider, but obviously great score from him this week. Isaiah Yeo. I mean, we haven't even spoken about Dylan Edwards as a fullback replacement. Simonsen, yep, thank you guys. Yeah, so Bailey Simonsen got concussed, which meant they did a reshuffle. So that Eels left hand side was completely decimated. They had Morgan Harper, who's not akin to having 150 points put on his head in Supercoach. So Isaac Tonga just absolutely cooking down that right hand side. So I wouldn't read too much into the six line breaks into his score, but he obviously, we know he's got this kind of game in him. Isaiah Yeo, next Australian halfback, just putting a kick up for. Was it for Taruva? Just on a dime, like on a dime. So yeah, Isaiah Yeo has actually scored very well the first 2 weeks. I think he's got a 70 plus and then a 94. So if you started with him, you're laughing. But just because of his high price tag, I think he's like 660K. He's 704K. Yeah, he just feels like not the right time to get him. You want to be making trades this week to get cash and stuff like that. But yeah, outside of that, probably the most telling thing I think is this James Fisher-Harris injury. So yeah, listen to NRL Physio's podcast to see what the full extent is of that one. The Dolphins-Dragons, we've kind of spoken about a little bit. We won't go too much into the Dolphins just because they've got the bye round three. So there's obviously not too much that we can do in terms of trading him in this week. I think from Manly Roosters today, as I mentioned, Luke Brooks, 77, looked very good. I think if you have got Ethan Strange in your centres, or maybe in your 5-8 spot, you might have the ability to do some crazy duels. You might even be able to do like Highland Lukey to Brooks in 5-8. Because I think you could just do, yeah, because what you could do is you could do Lukey, if you've got Berber in your center wing, sub Berber up to your center wing, sub Berber up to your second row forward. Lukey then is available to trade in a center, but then you put Ethan Strange into your center, you can then actually trade in Lukey to a 5-8. So I think if you've got that flexibility, yeah, consider Lukey to Brooks as a trade, because I think Brooks looks really, really good. He's not very expensive. I think he's like 560K. Send me a quick look here. It's lagging a little bit. Of course it is. Let me just find it on my phone. How about that? Let's have a look. Hopefully you guys can still hear me okay. Okay, I can see that there's some frames dropping. That's all right. I think it's fixed itself now. Luke Brooks is 560K. So Lukey to him is less than 100K. Like, I think if you've done one trade this week to make money, if you got the duels to do that, I think that's a nice little move to do to really stack your 5-8. You know, you get duel bags, get Luke Brooks in, and I think you're looking pretty set for your 5-8 spot. So yeah, consider that as a move, because I think Luke Brooks is looking great. What else we got? Cooler, pretty solid. Oluquatu, decent, 58. Turbo, a little bit disappointing, 41 points. Someone mentioned earlier, I think that Michael was saying Turbo looked cooked, never backed up through the middle for an offload. Very interesting, because he looks so good in the Vegas game. A little bit quieter today, but the reason I'm probably more likely to want to hold Turbo than Ponga. One, I think, is that Manly, just as an attack, still look to be functioning a bit better than the Knights. The Knights' attack just seems to be very clunky. Turbo has got 135 break-even. It's not as high as Ponga's. So I think Turbo, at least from a cash loss point of view, he won't lose as much. And I think Manly, just as a team, seem to be performing better in attack. So I think I'd probably be happy to keep Turbo for the time being. Burbo may get a try assist, or at least a try. Did he get a try contribution? I don't even remember in the end. What has he got? He's got a try contribution. So this is for the try that Kola scored that Jackson Paulo did a lot of the work for. So I think people were thinking that Burbo would get it. I don't really know too much in terms of the scoring. I think given that they've scored it as a try contribution already, I don't really see that changing, if I'm being honest. So if you're hopeful for big upgrades on Burbo, my base case is that it's not going to happen, pretty much. But obviously, Burbo got a negative break even. He's set to make money. So I think it's probably it from the Manly. Oh, we should talk about Tommy Talau, actually. So Talau obviously was maybe a bit of a popular trade in. Condolences to anyone who, I've seen a few people trade Bostock to Talau to make money this week. Yeah, obviously from a points point of view, that hasn't worked. And also Talau picked up what looks to have been a potentially a dislocated ankle. So I'll be listening to the Magic Sponge podcast for sure tomorrow morning, just to see what the extent is of that. We could just get another Manly winger as another cheapie. It's probably, I think it's Vega, who's like 314K. could get into that Manly wing spot. But yes, otherwise, I think Tommy Tuilagi looks like he's actually not going to be a trade-in now at this point because of this injury that he's picked up. Like, Hamoli's been solid, but I think he's just, again, he's very expensive. And I think people are going to want to do much more with trades to bring in guys with big negative break-evens. Just don't think Oluquatu really fits the bill. Like, he obviously scored very well last week. I think you're kind of paying what you get with Oluquatu. Now, on the Rooster side of things, so obviously Teddy looked really good, 92 points. Luke Keary looks like he picked up a head knock towards the end of that game. So it could mean Joey Manu to 5-8 next week, which is pretty tempting against the Rabbitohs. So if you're looking for a pod play next week, Manu's about 600K. We saw him score close to 100 last week, so we know he's got it in him. So maybe that's just something to consider for next week. But yeah, otherwise, Teddy, I think, looks pretty good. Rooster seemed to be functioning a little bit better. Terrell May, like, what can I... Again, let's do a poem. Terrell May, what can I say? If you haven't got him in your team, you should have got him today. I don't know, man. That was a crap poem. But Terrell May, like, I think, must have. That's the first must have I can think of, because he played the first half. So he got named to start. He played the first 40 minutes straight, at which he was on like 50 points already. Then he played, I think, another 12 minutes, scored another 18 points. Like, the guy's PPM is just ridiculous. So, yeah, Terrell May, 434K, must get today. What can I say? That was a crap poem. But I'll rate that 7 out of 10. But yeah, absolute must have. Sua Wong is interesting if you're looking for a Lukey replacement. So 59 points. Now, I missed bits and pieces of this game. I was driving at the time, so I kind of was listening on KO. So I wasn't able to watch like the full rotations. Can you guys let me know what minutes you saw Wong play? I've had people say he played 80 minutes. And then I go on NRL.com and it has Sua Wong, 41 minutes. And I was like, has he scored 59 points in 41 minutes? That is ridiculous. But yeah, because all in base as well. Like, he's got tackle bust, tackles, two line breaks. Did this all happen in 41 minutes? Like, I kind of doubt it. Have they just got the minutes wrong on NRL.com? So yeah, let me know in the chat what you guys think. Am I going to the Roosters game next Friday? Yes, potentially. I could potentially actually be going. So if anyone's there, come say hi. If you see me anyway. He played the first 20 and the last 20. Okay, so the minutes is accurate. He's got 59 points in 41 minutes. That is ridiculous. That's good. But again, the question is 41 minutes. Like, that's probably the thing that makes it hard to recommend as a trade-in, is that even though we know he's got that in him, but like, if you're only getting 40 minutes, like, you got two line breaks in that score. So you're looking more at 39 and 40 minutes, which all of a sudden then you're like, eh, it's a bit average at that point. So at least it shows good PPM, but yeah, the minutes still seems to be up in the air. I think really, and you know, Satili 47, he did get a try assist, I think, or did he get a try assist or try contribution for Teddy's try? No, he got a try assist. So again, that kind of bumped up his score a little bit as well. So I think with the back rollers for the Roosters, I think I'm probably going to stay away. Oh my God, I keep making the rhymes. I'm going to stay away from the back rowers apart from May. Yeah, Terrell May is probably the only forward I would consider. Congrats, Tex, on this great call. Captained Edwards over SJ in draft. Won you the week. That is a great call because he's got like 116 points. So that's probably on the Roosters game. Storm Warriors. We've kind of chatted about Pappenhausen already. Obviously scored a double, lots of tackle busts, line breaks, forced dropouts, like just very involved. Pappenhausen of old, some may say. But yes, I think, again, without goal kicking, maybe I don't consider him, but he did look good. It doesn't take much for me to get someone like a Pappy in my team. But yeah, look, so he looked really good. We have to talk about that try winner though from Xavier Coates. Like, that was just unbelievable. Like, we know he's got bunny hops, but he just jumped so far in advance of the try line. He got hit by DWZ. And just the balance and the poise, like, to put that ball down in the corner, like, just ridiculous. Like, I was watching that live, I think, as you guys know, or some of you may know, got engaged a few weeks ago, or a couple of weeks ago now. Thank you. Hold the applause. But I think someone was talking to me about, like, venues and stuff. And this is when that was happening. And they're like, did you hear me? I was like, no, shut up, go away. You have no idea what just happened. This game is ridiculous. I can't talk about wedding venues right now. Just insane. What a crazy, crazy ending. So yeah, I mean, obviously you're probably not really looking at Xavier Coates, but just a great win from the Melbourne Storm. But encouragingly for the Warriors, they looked really, really good. You know, they were able to come back into that game, very resilient. So I think I'm happy holding on to RTS. Originally, I was thinking of not holding, but 175 points he scored, looked solid. He did get a try assist in that, because I think Montoya got a try that was an RTS assist. But again, if I exclude the line break, he didn't even get a line break assist. So you're looking at, if you exclude that one try assist, he did get a line break, so maybe take up 22 points. 53 points is what he kind of got. That's his floor. A lot of tackle busts. Like, I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be fine. So yeah, very happy with RTS for the time being. And again, I think Karaz was a bit disappointing, has been disappointing the first 2 weeks. I'm seeing a few questions about him. Lomax didn't do great today. So I was kind of thinking if there's any higher price center wing I'd want at the moment, it's probably going to be either one of Garrick, Holmes, or maybe Hamso. Hamso doesn't play this week. I don't think I've got the funds to go to one of those other two guys. So RTS, I think, will just be staying for me. Gazaraki, gifting 10 memberships. You legend. Appreciate that so much. Thanks for that, Gazaraki. And guys, give some love to Gazaraki in the chat for gifting those memberships. Surely everyone who just watches the streams now has a membership. At the rate that you guys gift these memberships out at, surely you just have them all now, by now. Ape Index, I can rest easy with Pappy over Teddy. I just can't stand watching Teddy after last year's Origin. That's fair. You know, go with your gut. Go with what gives you more enjoyment. I wouldn't necessarily do it just because of you just can't stand to watch Teddy. But yes, Pappy is cheaper. He's like 645K. Yes, I think Pappy will be a very popular trade in this week for Ponga. I haven't really considered him just because he's got the buy round 4. But it could be the right move. I'm going to quickly look at what his projected break even is. So Pappenhausen's projected break even is 53. So you'd expect him to be getting 53 and making some money. So yeah, I think there's probably some good reason to maybe look to get Pappy this week. Yeah, it's almost hammer time. Yeah, I think hammer could be a very real option in round 4 because we know that the Dolphins have a fantastic draw. Elikata, very solid 63 points. Jerome Hughes, shout out to my draft. He's in my draft team, 88 points. Actually, I've got him and Elikata. So 88 and 63, I was very happy with that. I do have Tohu Harris and Mitch Barnett in my draft team as well. They both scored 41. Not ideal. But yeah, Luke Metcalf, I think, so a few questions coming in about SJ. I think earlier in the stream, should I sell SJ? Yeah, I probably would sell SJ just because, look, the 26, he's going to have a very high break even coming into this week. I'm just going to have a quick look at what it was projected for. So just give me a second. Yeah, he's got a break even of 153. And so there's lots of guys that you can but there's like Cleary and Nico that you can move to. Or you could just go to Luke Brooks and make yourself 200K as well. Alex, gifting another 10 memberships. Mate, you guys just non-stop. Non-stop at all. But you know, thank you so much, Alex. This is the second stream in a row you've done that. So yeah, very much appreciate the generosity. As I say, you guys must surely all have membership status by now. And I will need to add a new emoji, I think, for this. Ape Index Brooks to Metcalf? No, I don't think I'd be doing that. I think if you've got Brooks, I'm saying Brooks is a great buy this week. Yeah, I don't think you go selling Brooks this week. Yeah, so on SJ, I don't know if there's any reason why he wasn't goal kicking or injury related, but yeah, the fact that Metcalf was goal kicking was interesting. I just don't think I've really got a space in my team to trade in Metcalf at the moment at 5'8". I mean, what do you guys think? Would you rather Luke Brooks or a goal kicking Luke Metcalf? Based on what I've seen though, just eye test wise, I still think I would choose Brooks. Like Metcalf got a try assist, 20 points in goal kicks. 63 points at his price is fine, right? Like he's 483K. But yeah, Brooks to me just feels like at the moment he's got more of a ceiling in him. Oh, you mean Brooks better than Metcalf? Yeah, Ape Index, I think I would still take Brooks over Metcalf, despite Metcalf goal kicking. we haven't heard any reason as to why SJ wasn't goal kicking. I would have to think there's some kind of injury thing, because you know, those two played all together last season and SJ was the goal kicker the whole season. So I don't know if that's going to be a long-term thing. And so if I assume that he's not going to be the long-term goal kicker, then I would definitely prefer Brooks, I think, out of the two. Other scores from Storm, probably not too much. I guess Harry Grant, we've kind of spoke about him a bit more early in the stream. 61 points, solid. I'll probably just keep him, I think, this week. I don't think I'll be looking to sell him. Tantu Apiki, 51 points, again, very solid. He's kind of scored 50s in the last 2 weeks. So CNK, I did hear, was tracking very well. So it looked like Tua Piki will be out round four, but he may just be a good trade out at that point to upgrade. Can we get a Luke Brooks meme? We could. I don't want to meme Luke Brooks, though. I feel good for him. Surely we're all happy for him. You know, he struggled at the Tigers for a long time and he's moved to a new club and seems to be flourishing. R2 Rusty, 10-16 pending updates. That's a really good score. Didn't make any trades this week. Cleary captain. Thanks, Aman, on the info last live to hold Burton going into round two. No problems. We'll get to the Bulldogs game. I appreciate it. It's already been 47 minutes. So we'll try to go through these next few games in a bit faster, right? So next one, Cowboys, Knights. Obviously, we've spoken a lot about the big topics of kind of Lukey, 6 to 8 weeks is likely going to be how long he's out for. I think he's going to be a sell for sure. Apart from Adam Elliott, who's called a double, Dan Gagai was solid as ever, just base power all the way to 62, bunch of tackle busts in there. Leah Thompson, interestingly, scored 59 points. I know people have been discussing him as a potential front row forward mid-range option. I think he's around that mid-400s. So he ended up on 59 points. I want to say he played good minutes. Just one thing in general, I guess, with this game to call out is that it did go into Golden Point. So there was a few, 3 or 4 extra minutes where there was maybe some extra tackles and stuff that were made. So some of the base stats of all, some of the numbers across the board for the forwards, I'd maybe dock it by 2 or 3 points just to be a bit more on the conservative side. But yeah, so Leah Thompson, he played 63 minutes, which is actually a good hit out for him. Normally he doesn't tend to be a guy who plays that many minutes. So I think if you are looking for a mid-range front row forward this week and you have to get one this week, so you say you can't get a Flegler, maybe Leo Thompson is an option because the bench is well made up for him. You know, Jack Cogger's a utility playing dummy half. Then you got Jed Cartwright playing edge. There's only Dan Safidi and Jack Hetherington coming in and playing middle. So there's probably going to be a reliance on Leo Thompson to play decent minutes. So probably not one that I will be moving to next week. I still haven't really decided on the front row forward. I might just go straight to Cotter. But again, Cotter's like a good 100k more expensive and scored 70. But Cotter did play like 69 minutes. I don't think that those minutes are going to be sustainable. I think he's more likely going to be a lower 60 minute guy, but we know that he's got a good work rate and he's dual, which is handy as well. So yeah, I think there's some good chance of attacking stats for him down the line as well. Tom Dearden did score 76 points, so he scored well. I believe he scored well last week, I want to say, as well. Let's have a quick look here, unless I'm thinking wrongly. Dearden last week scored, what did he score? He scored 65 points last week. Okay, so he scored 65 and now 76. Could be an option at 5'8". Still think I'd prefer Brooks, though, if I'm being honest. Shout out to Carl Felt, all-time top try scorer for the Cowboys. Drinkwater, again, a little bit disappointing with only 62 points. Only the one happy with that. So I think if you've got Drinkwater, well, I mean, it depends. Like Ponga, people are probably looking at selling. Drinkwater's not too different. I guess the difference is that Cowboys have probably got a better draw, at least in the first couple of weeks. So let's have a look here. Actually, no. The Knights probably have got a better draw, but Cowboys have got Dragons round 3. After what you saw tonight, are you wanting to sell your Cowboys attacking players against the Dragons? Probably not. Then they've got the Titans round 5. Like, I think if I had Drinkwater, I'd probably hold, just because he's got Dragons this week. That's my feeling anyway. Anything else? We've spoken a lot about Ponga. I'm still not decided because he still has looked good in patches. You know, he scored 50 and then 45 in the 2 weeks where the Knights to keep. But I'm potentially looking at selling, potentially, just to free up some funds to make some upgrades elsewhere in my team. So KP is on the chopping block for me. But yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at the moment. How did Ellie get 100 plus? He scored 2 tries, both with line breaks. So that bumped his score up massively. How many subs do we need to donate to get 5G home Wi-Fi? Don't worry, I will be, when I move to my new place, I am trying to secure the best possible internet that I can. I just took out my, I think my charger's, I think my laptop's just getting a little bit hot, which is probably why the frames are dropping slightly as well. But it should hopefully pick back up soon. And as long as the audio's still there, then that's cool. YouTube's still telling me excellent connection. So I'll run with that for the time being. Elsewhere, Marzu 46. I think if you have Marzu, you could also maybe look to just sell him just to downgrade and make some money. You know, if you've got the duels, you can go Marzu to maybe like a Hosking, or if you want to just go to your center wing, maybe you go down to like an RTS if you didn't start with him, just to free up like 200k and maybe make some upgrades in your team. Or you can still go down to Lomax. Because like as Matthew Sherwood says here, like Lomax with 40 in base when his team got absolutely demolished. Like, yeah, if the lowest score that Lomax is going to get you is 40, that's fine. I guess the question more is, Matt, like, how often are you going to get, like, what are you going to get more of? Is it scores closer to 40s, or are you going to get hopefully more of those kind of 80s and 90s? Because I think if you're going to get more of the 40s, 50s because of the Dragons not scoring a lot of points, then, you know, obviously that's more disappointing. You know, as James is calling out here, you could go to Ronaldo Mulitalo. He scored very well the first couple of weeks. He's got the West Tigers this week. I want to have a quick look at his break even. So he's got a projected break even of minus 8. So like he's going to make some money as well. So like, again, if you're like a Marzu owner and you want to downgrade, or maybe like a Karaz, we'll get to the Bulldogs, but Karaz I think is probably going to be a sell, if I'm being honest, just because at his price tag, he's not delivering just yet. And I think he's a good way to free up some money. Yeah, maybe to a Mulitalo, or at least just to capitalize on the negative break evens as well. Val Holmes would be interesting, but I just don't think he's probably going to be top of a lot of people's shopping lists this week, although I still think it's a good matchup against the Dragons. And then Reece Robson has been very solid for owners as well. 60 plus last week, and then 59 again this week. I think maybe the last thing to touch on with the Cowboys is probably Finifuliaki. So he scored 38 points, and he played 58 minutes. So his work rate's not the best. So I know he's more likely going to be getting more minutes with Lukey off the field. But I think Finifuliaki got 58 minutes. I kind of see that as being the minutes he would get when Lukey's not in the team. And if he's going to get like the low 40s, high 30s, low 40s, I don't see a lot of money made in him. So he hasn't really jumped out to me as an option to trade down to. It's not necessarily where I've been like, oh, the left back row for the Cowboys is injured, I have to get the replacement. Not necessarily, just because I don't think he's got as much of a work rate as Lukey. He's more of a tackle buster, attacking stat oriented back rower. They do have a good draw, so it could work out. So he could be a nice way to make some, free up some cash as well, if you just want to get a Finifuliaki who's sub 300k, going to be playing at least probably 55 to 60 minutes, and hopefully make some money. I think he's a fine option, but I don't think he's like a, he's not screaming to me like a absolute must cheapie to be making you some money. Just on him in general, he's got a break even of 31. So again, he's not looking like he's set for a massive amount of cash growth this round anyway, at least. Okay, so we've talked about Panthers, Eels, Raiders, Tigers. Probably won't spend too much time on this one. We've spoke a lot about Zach Hosking. Mentioned already about there is a risk of Elliot Whitehead coming back into the Raiders team in around round 4 or 5. But I think at least for making money, I think he's going to be a very popular trade in this week, given that he's probably likely to have like a negative 33 break even. So I like Hosking as a bit of a trade in this week, potentially, just to free up some, or just to create some cash gen. Ethan Strange, I'm assuming most people have. Good to see a 61 points game from him. Xavier Savage, 71. He did score a try that was pretty much gifted to him. Like, I don't know how the Tigers didn't defend that on the wing after, I think there was a, yeah, they brought the ball in from touch after a penalty kick. Like, just shocking defending. Otherwise, yeah, Smithy's solid, 49 points. Probably the reason why I'm not really fully leaning, well, not that I'm not leaning, but the reason why I'm not maybe strongly going for Lusick is that I've got Levi, who I think is going to have a negative break-even as well. I think Danny Levi, yeah, he's got a negative 13 break even. Like, he's going to make money as well. So I might just keep him for the time being. And I might just upgrade him eventually to Appy. And maybe I just skip Joey Lussick. So that's kind of it, I think, really from the Raiders. On the Tigers side of things, a couple of players I wanted to call out, given that this is the first time that we're seeing them play this season. So Coruscant is obviously number one, scored that line break try. He got about 49 base power, which is generally what he gets historically. But obviously goal kicking and the try that he scored bumped up his score. So I'm looking at Coruscant potentially as an upgrade for Levi in a few weeks. But if you own him, you'd be very happy with him. If you're looking to go Harry Grant to him to as your main way of making money, I don't hate it. But I'm personally probably just going to hold on to Grant. IPAP, 67 points, pretty much all in base power. So I think he got one line break. No, he got no line break. So yeah, so basically Isaiah Papali'i, he got 67 points, all base power. He's 568K, obviously not going to change in price this week. So I'm probably going to give him another week to watch, and you can do this with all of the West Tigers players. But very impressive stats from IPAP this week. Buller, solid. I think the other one is probably Lockie Galvin, 49 points this week, which is at his price tag at bottom dollar. Very happy with, because considering he got 49 points and he lost 10 points in negative stats. So even if you halve that, you're looking at a low 50 score from him, which at his price tag is great. So Galvin, I'm happy I've started with him. If you don't own him already, I think you can probably just wait until round four before his first price change, but he looks to be a good option if he can stay in this West Tigers team. All right, let's get onto Sharks Bulldogs, because there's obviously some big talking points out of this one. I might just see if there's a couple of questions coming in this related to this game. So text elements, I'll quickly just address your question. Thoughts on deal bags? Is it just a case of no one else really that good at 5'8"? Yeah, pretty much that's what it is. So Stefanos, you aren't worried with Elliot Whitehead coming back for Hosking's minutes? Yes, there is obviously some risk there, but I think the nature of Whitehead's injury is a calf strain, can be one of those lingering injuries. So even if Whitehead comes back, it could just be off the bench. So I can see Hosking maybe getting 80 minutes next week, and then maybe it's like 65, and then maybe he becomes a 50. But you're going to get maybe at least two price changes out of him, and he's probably going to make you at least 100K if he's got a negative 33 break even. So I kind of look at him as just a quick way to win, quick way to make 100K. I've got a guy in Lukey who I need to sell, so it kind of works well in that situation too. But he's played very well in these first two games, so there could be a situation where he also just plays decent minutes. Like we saw it last season, Hosking, when he gets minutes, is a good work rate player. Like he's relevant for Supercoach, so at least we know that he's a good own at times for SC. All right, yeah, so on the Bulldogs Sharks game, so obviously pretty comprehensive from the Sharks in the end. Yep, Alex, as you say, Karaz and Hutchinson are disappointing to own. Yeah, neither have been that great. So yeah, Hutchinson in the end only scored 32. Karaz ended up on, so Karaz got 47. Okay, so he was on like 33 pre-update, so he's updated massively, so he's obviously got some extra, I think, runs and offloads and stuff in there, maybe some tackle busts. So yeah, so the first 2 weeks for Karaz, 49 and 47. So that's kind of what we were, close to what we were thinking he would get in base power. But obviously no major attacking stats to this point. So I think with Karaz, I just said, I think he's a sell. He's not a hard sell because he's at least giving you like close to 50 each week. But if you got him at 600K thinking you wanted like the 60s and 70s and you're just not quite getting that yet, and he's your best option to sell to make some money, then I think I would be okay selling him. Because at the end of the day, despite his work rate being very good, I don't think he's as good of an option playing at center compared to on the wing. And it's the Bulldogs who are still finding their feet. They're not going to be scoring a bucket load of points, so the chances of those attacking stats is probably lower. And it seems as though if it goes on the right-hand side, as we've seen the last 2 weeks, it goes to the winger, generally. So Blake Wilson has got two tries in his first two games. Karaz, nothing. Like, if that was Karaz getting those two tries plus his work rate, you'd be laughing. But unfortunately, that's the downside playing at center. You typically just don't get as many of the big attacking stats for Supercoach. So that's kind of my general thoughts on Karaz. Don't think he's a hard sell. I think Hutchinson, yeah, look, at 350K, if you can move him across to someone who's going to make money, yeah, I think Hutchinson's is fine to sell. I don't think he's obviously screaming that you need to keep him in any way. Jamin Salmon, 36 points. So again, he's probably falling into that same bucket as Hutchinson. So just having a quick look at what minutes Salmon played this week. So I wonder if his minutes also maybe are on the higher end because of that Poasa Famasuli injury. So he played 54 minutes, which is reasonable. I think, like, people were saying he's going to play 60 minutes. I was always thinking he's going to play a little bit less than 60. And I don't want to sound smug or anything, but this was my concern with Salmon, is that, you know, he's playing more of a ball-playing lock role. And so in the minutes that he gets, he's not going to be a high work rate player. So, for example, he made 26 tackles, 8 runs in hit-ups, 2 and an extra 10. So no negative stats, but, like, that's it. Like, there was no upside in attack for him this week. And so that was my fear, is that he's just going to be a bit of a slow burn. We're kind of seeing that in the first 2 weeks. So I think, again, similar to Hutchinson, if you can sell him, or if you can upgrade him to like a Curran or some other guy who's going to make you money this week, Finifel Yaki, if you want to go there, for example, as a cheapie, I think perfectly fine to sell Jamin Salmon. Now, in terms of Curran, so Ruben is saying, thoughts on Lukey for Curran or Hosking, who's the better option? Alex saying, hope Curran gets dual second row forward, front row forward. Yes, I am praying that Curran gets the dual, because he's been coming off the bench the first 2 weeks playing through the middle. I think out of the two, Ruben, long-term Curran. If you're getting a guy that you just want to stick into your team for long-term points, for me, it's Curran. But if you want to trade in a guy who you want to use as a stepping stone for making money, Hosking. I think you need to split it up that way, because really they're kind of similar in that they're both good work rate players, so that if they both get equal minutes, they're kind of going to get you equal points. So it's obviously, you know, Curran is like close to 100K cheaper than Hosking, but he's probably not going to make as much money as Hosking over the next couple of weeks. So I think you need to value and weigh up what of the two you prefer. Like if I was a non-owner, and I think I was moving to one of them, it depends on your other trades, right? Like if you hypothetically are selling Ponga for like Teddy, you're freeing up 189K. Do you then need to make more money by going to Hosking? Maybe not. Maybe then you just go Curran. So I think you need to weigh all of that up. But yeah, because I think Curran is a better long-term pick, I just slightly edge Curran. But again, I think you need to weigh up, what are you valuing more out of the trade out of Lukey? Are you trying to make cash? I guess the thing with Hosking as well is that he'll make cash, but he can still score good Supercoach points too. So yeah, definitely short-term Hosking, long-term Curran. But yeah, obviously I think Curran is a really good option to trade in for Lukey this week, because it does look like, I mean, I know the minutes were a little bit weird the first 2 weeks, but it does feel like he's going to be playing at least 55 to 60 minutes. He's always got a good work rate and got 2 line break assists, so that was very handy this week. So yeah, Curran I think is a great trade-in. Blake Wilson would be, but he's just 578K. I think he's just a bit too expensive for me to recommend. And overall with the Bulldogs, I think someone shouted at me before for making him hold Burton. Good job. I think I'd sell Burton though for Luke Brooks, if I'm being honest. I don't think I'd be holding on to Burton, because I think just feels like he's going to struggle to really get these big 60, 70 point scores while the Bulldogs continue struggling in terms of attack. They also don't have a fantastic draw, the Bulldogs. Like, we're looking at Titans this week is fine. Maybe you can hold Burton this week for Titans. But then before the bye, looking at Rabbitohs, Roosters, Melbourne Knights bye. Like, it's not that great. Sure, West Tigers in round 9, but then you've got Penrith round 10. Like, it's also the Bulldogs. Their draw is never going to be probably the best for an attacking point of view. Ben, 1039 this week. Great score this week. Haven't been burnt by the newbie spread team strats yet. Thanks for the info, man. Love the stream. Thank you so much. Appreciate that a lot. Yes, Ape, we only get 3 trades a week if we boost. That's correct. Yeah, so it's the same this week in terms of you get 2 trades, but you will see a lot of people using a boost this week and doing 3 trades. I'm probably like 90% going to use a boost this week as well. It's the big moving week for the first set of price changes. That's why a lot of people use the boost this week. So yeah, that's kind of my thoughts on the Bulldogs players. On the Sharks, obviously Mulatalo's looked really good, 116 points. Talakai's also looked good, 72 points and 82 points. Teague Wilton had a great game. So this is all down the left-hand side. The right-hand side, not as much, although to be fair, Sione Katoa and Jesse Raymond did score well. I think in my center wing video back in preseason, I highlighted if you wanted a pod in your center wing, one of these two guys would be good. They've both kind of scored decent in the first couple of weeks. Katoa was a bit cheaper, so you could maybe look to him as a bit of a pod option. They do have the Tigers this week before they have a... Who do they have in round four? They've got the Raiders. So West Tigers and Raiders is pretty decent. Then they've got the bye in round five. But then after that, still a good draw of Rabbitohs, Cowboys, Raiders again, and then the Dragons. So I don't mind actually going a Sharks player as a bit of a pod option. They're not very highly owned. Mulatalo, if you can afford him, he's got a pretty good negative break even, I want to say. I'm just going to have a quick check of this to fact check. Yeah, he's got a minus A break even, so he's going to make some money. He's just a bit more expensive. He's like 620K. But, you know, someone like a Sione Katoa, I think, is like 411K. So he's at a much more affordable price. So I don't mind him as a bit of a downgrade option, especially in your center wing. You know, say you're a Marzu owner, like we spoke before, and he's your best way to free up money. I said Marzu to Mulatalo. You could decide to go really cheap. Marzu down to Sione Katoa. It's like 300 plus K. That could, 300K could be like, you know, I don't know, Spencer Lenu, and if you've got other cash in the bank, that's like Spencer Lenu to like Tino, like a huge, huge upgrade. So those are the kind of the moves that you can be doing this week, you know, before the first set of price changes. Hines, I think I will be keeping. And yeah, that's probably all I've got for relevance on the Sharks players. One person did say, I think had a comment on Braden Trindle. So I think they said, I've got Braden Trindle since round one. What do I do this week? So Trindle is what, 411K? So I think you're probably just battling with yourself in terms of, he's got the Tigers this week, do I hold? Yeah, it's 439K. Personally, if I had Trindle, I think I would still sell for, if I had the money, I'd probably sell for someone like a Luke Brooks. I'm just going to have a quick look. Yeah, so Trindle's got a projected break-even of 93. If you don't sell him this week, unless he goes gangbusters, even you're going to have to need him to score 93 points roughly just to maintain value, but it's more likely that he's going to drop in price. And so I think if I were a Trindle owner, I would probably sell this week even before the Tigers match up, because I think you really probably do need to preserve the cash at that point. So I'd probably go Trindle to like a Luke Brooks. If you haven't got all that money, you could look to Metcalf, who even without the goal kicking, he still scored well in round one. Or you can use duels maybe, and if you've got like an Ethan Strange, you could maybe make some moves there. Or if you really want to downgrade and you can't afford Brooks or anything, you could even maybe go downgrade to Galvin. That's maybe an option for you. But yes, I think if I had Trindle, I'd probably be selling. Other relevance, I guess Britton Nicara is going to be suspended for two matches because of his shoulder charge to the head of Kikau on the weekend. And yes, guys, I hear ya. I hope Kyren gets the duel. I want the duel status very much for Josh. Last game, Broncos Rabbitohs. I think I kind of made some thoughts about this on Twitter. I think so. This is the Thursday game. I'll keep it short, given that we've already got to an hour 9 minutes. But pretty much, I think on the Rabbitohs, I'm not really looking at anyone. Like Talis Duncan was benched, so not great. I know Sevilla Havili scored 83 points, but that was with a couple of try assists. Really, for me, it's Latrell or bust. Like Cody. Sure, he scored 71 points, but I think the form that they're showing isn't the best, and he's very expensive. I prefer Brooks as an option, so I wouldn't be going Cody. Cam Murray, 63, but again, not necessarily offering value. So for me, Latrell as a Ponga replacement is still firming as an option, and then that's it. I don't really want to buy anyone else from the Rabbitohs at this point. Totola, just steady 80, 46. Someone said Sean Kepi, if you own, would you sell? I would probably sell Kepi. Only scored 27 points. I don't think he played that many big minutes, I want to say. So let me just have a quick look at it here. Sorry. NRL.com is a bit slow for me right now. Yeah, so he played 40 minutes, which is not bad, but his PPM has not always been the best. So... yeah, if I had Sean Kepi, I'd probably be moving him on to 385K. I mean, if you don't have Terrell May, he's probably the one. Otherwise, geez, I mean, without Flegler playing this week, you're probably not, you don't have a lot of options really to move to. His break even projected is, I mean, his projected break even is 52. So if it's just 1 week, you might lose like 20K. It's not the worst thing in the world. So you could give it a week. But yeah, otherwise, I'm probably, if you can't go to Flegler this week, you're probably going to try to find bigger cash and go up to someone like a Ruben Cotter, maybe, for example. Just seeing any comments in the chat. Sorry, yeah, maybe I should have mentioned this for the Bulldogs. What would you do if you owned Max King? Probably sell as well. I think, like, I wouldn't be... He's not a rush to sell. He ended up on 49 points. The problem is his minutes. His minutes have not been there the first two games. So pretty much he's got 43 and 44 minutes the first 2 weeks. We were thinking he would be a 55 to 60 minute player. That doesn't seem to be the case. And he just doesn't have upside that he's got a really strong PPM like a Tyrell May. So I know some people last week were asking me, you know, if I've got Max King, do I sell for Tyrell May? I was saying, give it one more week just to see the minutes. If you're in that situation, I think you make that move to Tyrell May, free up like $100,000, and you're going to get a better PPM player in Tyrell. So yeah, I think for me, Max King, I mean, if he's not, he's not the biggest problem in your team, but he's also, again, he's like Karaz. He's a way that you can free up some funds in your team. And again, if you don't have Tyrell May, I'd just do a straight swap to him. Rules are, I got Talau, Luki, Farmasuli, and Jacob Gagai help. Yeah, look, a lot of people are going to be in that situation. Like, I've got Luki. Look, I lucked out with Liam Henry, at least so far. Like, by going with him, like, I've got two decent scores, and I don't have to use that trade now on Farmasuli. I've got Gagai, so I'm in the same boat. I think with Gagai, just quickly on the Rabbitohs game, obviously he didn't play. I think I'm just going to keep him for the time being as my bottom dollar cheapie. And if any other bottom dollar guy emerges, then I think I'll just use him as the way to move on to him. Or if you've got a setup where you've got Ethan Strange in your 5-8 spot in round four, or before round four, you can just do Jacob Gagai straight to Lockie Galvin, for example, via duels. So I think if I had Gagai, I'd probably just be holding on to him at least until round four. And if nothing else happens, then you can do that swap to Galvin via Ethan Strange. Probably your job done. Easy move there to make some money. So I think on the Broncos side of things, obviously a bit interesting. It looks like Reynolds is going to be out next week. So that probably means that Reece Walsh is goal kicking, which is really big. I know it's Penrith, but the Broncos did beat Penrith, you know, in round one last year. Grand final rematch. So are they going to want to be, you know, going for redemption? I believe it's a home game for the Broncos. So let me just have a quick look at that here. Yes, it's a home game against Penrith. So that's obviously always a good thing. Goal kicking for Reece Walsh is really good. I think we're kind of starting to see a little bit more from Walsh that the opposition doesn't really matter so much. Like, he scored well in round one against the Roosters, scored well again against the Rabbitohs. Penrith are the best. But after Penrith, you are looking at some decent games. Like Cowboys, I think there's points in there. Melbourne, there's points. Dolphins, for sure, there's points. Raiders, Tigers, there are definitely points in those games. So I think Reece Walsh, I'd probably prefer Reece Walsh to Latrell if he's going to be goal-kicking. I think Broncos as a unit and as a team are going to be performing a little bit better than the Rabbitohs are at the moment. So I'd probably want to go Reece Walsh. I think, again, if you're talking pod center wings, you know, if you've got those high price premium guys you want to downgrade to, Selwyn Cobbo, I know he killed me in 2022, but he looks so good on the weekend. He's 603K. What did he score last week? I think he scored okay. He scored 53 points. So 53 and then a 93. Just, this is more just eye test. Like, I think that left side for the Broncos is looking real. Like, I mean, in general, across the board, they're looking good. Like, Dean Mariner scored a couple, like, he scored a great chip and chase try. But that left side of, you know, Reece Walsh coming down that left-hand side, Piakura, Cobbo, Jesse Arthurs, looks like a really strong side for them at the moment. So I really like Cobbo as a bit of a pod. Carrigan, just solid as ever, 69 points. There's some doubt about Payne Haas as well, so I haven't fully got up to date with that one, so just keep an eye for news on that. Jesse Arthurs, we probably should talk about, 376K. He was on like 71 points, and I think he may have lost like a try assist. Because I think he had two at one point. But yeah, he scored a try and a try assist for 57 points. He is going to be attack and stat reliant. Like, he's not a base stat heavy player. But we know that if he plays outside of this really strong back line for the Broncos, there's going to be attacking stats on offer. So he's 376K. I probably should actually consider him as an option to downgrade to make some funds. You know, maybe Luki, again, Lukey, assuming a lot of people have him. If you've got Burbo in your center wing, Lukey to Jesse Arthurs via duels, that frees up like 100k. That's money that you can use for upgrades, you know, elsewhere in your team. So I think Jesse Arthurs is a decent downgrade option as well. At 376k, I think he's priced at a high 30s, but we're kind of seeing over the first 2 weeks, like he's probably going to be going a bit better than that. Like he scored 48 round one, 57 round two. Probably not a play in your team every week, but probably more for matchups. Like the Penrith matchup this week isn't fantastic, but he should be making some money. Yep, so Jay Schubert has a projected break even for him of -3. So probably looks like he's going to be making some money. So I think this is where you're just buying into a good attacking team on a good edge. So I think Jesse Arthurs is also a good downgrade option that you can consider this week as well. Finally, probably Piakura, 48 points. I think coming into this week, people are obviously selling him. 48 points, looked good in defense. No attacking stats, so that's all just work rate. 80 minutes, I'll be keeping. Don't really see any real reason to be moving him on. Alex, when a beer's in break even slash SC play, but going to invite you on. Keep up the awesome content. Don't ask me. You ask those guys and I'll leave it up to them. Of course, they're running their own show, but yeah, no, they're doing great stuff, obviously. But yeah, no, anyone who wants me on their podcast, I'm always very appreciative of it. So I try to do as many as I can if I get asked on, but it's obviously always a bit tough with schedules and everything. All right, I think we've done everything pretty comprehensively, done most games, went through my trade thoughts at the beginning of the stream. We're getting to an hour 17 minutes as well, so I think I'm probably going to wrap up the stream there. Probably won't take any further questions. Obviously, very big trading week coming up, so have a good night's sleep. Think hard about it tomorrow when the game locks out, and then all the fun begins come TLT, 4 p.m. Tuesday. So hopefully see you back again soon for another stream slash video. I'll try to put more content out on the Instagram. Do follow me on Instagram. I'm putting out a lot more on Instagram these days. But yeah, hopefully you all enjoyed the stream. Gonna give my voice a rest now as we push into an hour 18 minutes. I'll upload the audio of this as well onto podcasts very soon. But thank you all so much for joining me on this Sunday evening. Hopefully you all had a good weekend. Hopefully you enjoyed the stream. Do give it a like as well, please, on the way out. That's the first time I'm asking for it as well, all stream. So that would really help me out. Helps out with the algorithm. But going to leave it there. Thank you everyone so much. And catch you in the next one. See ya.